Yo, yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Kicks and Picks Podcast. Nick, Scotty, back with you today. Coach Steve, TBD, but we are going to break down everything you need to know. We have a massive weekend ahead of us.
Big weekend.
Champions League, half of the semifinals in the books with Inter taking their spot in the finals over Barcelona. We'll give it its justice in a second, but we have a pretty tightly contested top four race in England. We still have a top four race in Italy. We're repeating ourselves week after week, but it just hasn't gotten any clearer, and we are here for it. So 3 weeks left, heavyweight matchups this weekend. Scotty, I am ready to break it all down. I think we did okay last week. I know there was a couple games we kind of missed, and then a couple where we were like dead on. So feeling pretty good.
It is a weird part of the season where, at this point, realistically, I'd say like 70% of the clubs have nothing left to play for. In England specifically, it's just the teams. Honestly, it's Arsenal now have something to play for, scarily enough. You know, from Arsenal down through, I would say maybe Aston Villa is just lightly in the European competition race. I think they're right now in Conference League, but those are the only clubs that have something to play for. And when they're not playing each other, it's kind of hard to see like who's going to be motivated. I think there's like a lot of emphasis now, I would say, on the home teams, because it's just about kind of squeezing out those last few home wins before the season's over. Otherwise, man, dude, like Liverpool looked like dog shit against Chelsea. Yep. Yeah, I get it. They're rotating. They're probably hungover from celebrations, but
we called that.
Yeah, it was 3-1 with an own goal by Liverpool. I mean, it wasn't really ever a game that Liverpool looked like they were going to be in. No.
You nailed it, man. It's a period in the season where matchups are important. Mobility is important. But other than that, home teams and underdogs are where you're going to find a lot of the value. We saw that with a couple of teams like Chelsea, like you said. Roma, Fiorentina is sticking in my mind because Fiorentina couldn't get that goal. I was really heavy on both teams to score, and they did basically everything but, and Roma gets to score on their one chance. So that one hurt. But Bologna, Juve, both teams to score, comes in like an hour later. So
yeah,
kind of one of those weekends, like 50-50, I feel like we went. But man, let's get right into what's going on this week. We are in the midst of a Champions League semifinal. If you're watching us live, Inter in the finals, Barcelona, man, I like what can really be said. And it's interesting for me to take a look at these games objectively now, because there's always skin in the game, because we're basically betting every big game, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's kind of like a shitty, awesome thing where like we're so grown up that there's really no objectivity in it because we want our bets to win. But just as like a fan to watch the game, to not really have a side, what did we see? 12 goals over two legs.
Zero defense. I'll tell you what we saw. We saw zero defense. Not a lick of defense. The only time there was defense is when the other team just conceded possession and just was willing to, like, you know, not do anything dangerous with it. It was really just a back and forth. Honestly, it wasn't like up and down. It just was like one team would just own and dominate 30 minutes, and then they'd let the other team dominate for 30 minutes. It was so weird. It was just like, at no point did they ever put their foot on the gas pedals at the same time. So it was very entertaining. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we were talking about, you know, Inter blowing 2-0 leads in consecutive games, and you know, Barcelona being able to come back and score three consecutive goals, you know, on the road on a second leg of a semifinal, and then still conceding in the 93rd minute to a center back running through the middle. Hasn't
played, by the way, in like quite some time.
Who first ever European goal in his, what, 20 years? How long has he been playing
at Cherubi? Yeah, I mean, since he's like 20 years old, so at least in 15, 16 years.
Yeah, unbelievable.
No, and I mean, you guys will, you can fact check it. I mean, I was tweeting, I was like, Inzaghi out, dude. Like, there's no way. This man blew two separate two-goal leads to Barcelona. That shit should not happen. I mean, granted, it's Barcelona. I'm not discounting who they are. They're in first place in La Liga. They're in a Champions League semifinal. They could seemingly score at will, which they did. Inter had only given up two goals in the entire competition prior to leg one. So I'm not discounting Barcelona at all. But watching the game, Inter getting out to a very quick 2-0 lead, deserved 2-0 lead. They've done it now two games in a row. And you're like, okay, so now the strategy is to sit back for 50 minutes and play. That play, because they certainly weren't playing. That just didn't make sense to me. So we're firing it. Like, I tweeted it out. We're in the group chat. I'm like, yo, 3-2 Barcelona final score. Like, that is the easiest live bet of all time.
Almost
30 seconds away from hitting. Not that I wanted it necessarily to hit, but 30 seconds away from, it was like plus 2000 or something that I put it in on. So I was like, man, just pure cinema.
Yeah. And once it gets to extra time, Inter being at home, Inter having the deeper bench, like when you're looking at the players that Barcelona were bringing on, it was like, oh man, dude, they're like legitimately getting worse as you bring on more players. Whereas, you know, Inter bringing on Fertesi, who gets the game winner, you know, Darmian, you can say what you want about him, Zielinski, like a lot of quality guys coming in off the bench with fresh legs. Whereas, you know, Flick was left trying to figure out, do I leave guys out there for 120 minutes? Do I try to bring in some of these, you know, lesser experienced guys, maybe lesser talented to a certain extent guys that try to like bring this home? No. Just a terrible situation to be in as a manager.
No, La Masia, maybe not coming through with, you know, the four guys I never heard of in like the 115th minute. Yeah. So, yeah. No, both coaches, I think it's definitely a flaw of both of them to just like really try to get everything they possibly can out of the starting 11. But this is where Inter's depth finally shone through. I think, I guess if I'm bashing him all game, I have to give Inzaghi a little bit of credit for ultimately making the moves that mattered, as you said, and Inter fighting back. You know, it didn't look promising at all at any point from their second goal on, right? They played like 70 minutes of dog shit football. They dodged a lot of really big chances by Barca, a couple posts. Sommer was insane. I mean, think about a game where you let in three goals and you still had six saves. Like, that's unbelievable. So not much more can be said. I mean, deserved. They had a fantastic Champions League campaign, and ultimately they outdueled Bayern Munich over two legs. They outdueled Barcelona over two legs. Two very different scenarios how they played out. But this team is in the final, and we have a future at plus 1,000. I got a fact check from what I gave out last week. Plus 1,000 on Inter to win the Champions League. So they're in the final. We can't really ask for much more.
Well, we can, because the other pick we gave out was PSG at plus 1,600, and they are but a draw or better at home away from advancing, in which case we would have both of our picks at, you know, four-digit numbers or better in the final, and we would be guaranteed at least a 10-1 payout.
Facts. And that's what we're going to get into right now. So PSG returning home against Arsenal, one goal advantage, as you mentioned, plus 110 favorite on the money line. Arsenal plus 225, that draw at plus 260. Really kind of like that draw, plus 260. If anybody listened to our advice as two-time back-to-back podcast champions of giving out a Champions League future, you can hedge with Arsenal at plus 350 to advance. But that's kind of, you know, the only advice I would give out. We're pot committed here on PSG. You know, we're riding our future. But I would say PSG at plus 110 at home. Seems like a pretty solid number. I really do kind of like the draw at plus 260 as well.
Team total over 1.5 for them is minus 115. And Arsenal are going to have to be playing out. You know, they're going to have to be on the front foot here on the road with a team that has as much pace in that forward line. And it was almost completely rested on the weekend. I think it spells potential doom for Arsenal. I think two goals for this PSG team with Arsenal chasing the tie is going to be certainly doable.
Yeah, and to put it into perspective in a different way, the top five anytime goal scorers are all PSG players. Yeah. So that is what the books think. This is shaping up pretty well for us in the way that we hope that it plays out. I will say it's a game. I mean, I don't know, guys. All I could say is be cautious here. A lot of specials. There's a lot of props. There's a ton you could do with this game. PSG has looked aside all competition. I think they've been the most dynamic offensive team from start to finish. I think they've had a Inter, I guess you can make the case for either team. I mean, they both had to go through heavyweights, but until somebody takes out PSG, it's tough for me to bet against them. And I'm not going to change that now. Arsenal hasn't really looked all that good.
No, I mean, they're in a, you know, a, I don't want to say a free fall, but their season is coming very close to becoming a disaster. I get it. The semifinals, PSG in the Champions League, not necessarily like the worst thing that's ever happened to them, but for where they were in December and how much promise they were expecting for the second half of the season and being able to chase down Liverpool for the title and, you know, being, you know, arms and let, or what's it, shoulder, head and shoulders above Manchester City. And now we're looking at a potential situation where they could be falling into third, fourth, maybe fifth place, still Champions League qualification most likely, and then not getting any sort of trophy out of, you know, an EFL, FA Cup, or, you know, obviously if they don't get past PSG here, Champions League, it's going to be a tough one for them to swallow, because, you know, Man City's going to rebuild over the summer. They're going to come back stronger. Liverpool, title winners, are going to be heavily investing after a summer where they really only just bought a keeper that they shipped out for on loan, and then a half-legged Chiesa, who sat them on the bench all season long. So, you know, there's going to be money spent on Liverpool. So it's could be tough for a tough finish for here for Arsenal. A lot riding on this, I would say.
Yeah, no question. I'm looking for, man, it's so funny when there's a big game like this, I feel like the books just open up and there's a whole bunch of different props and specials and shit like that. I can't even seem to see it, but I'm looking for the first team to score. But what I would say is PSG will be looking, in my opinion, to get off to a really fast start, much like they did the last game. They're at home. They know that one goal really does them a lot of wonder. PSG to score in the first half is minus 130. That's something I'm kind of interested in if I'm getting involved in this game. I will say that should PSG get the first goal, knowing we have them at 16-1, I would probably place a live bet on Arsenal to advance. Like, because that would have to, it would probably be equal into the plus thousands. Yeah, you know what I mean? Fair. If they're plus 350 pregame, they got to be at least plus 800 if they go down a goal or something like that.
Yeah, if I can more. See that.
So that's the way I'm approaching this game. I'm sorry if anybody is listening and is looking for any better insight or any better bet. We're committed to PSG here. Our thoughts, I think, are the same. They're the stronger team. They've been the better team this season. They're at home. They have an advantage. PSG to do something should be the way you're betting this game. If you believe in Arsenal, let me know why. Listen, at some point, I get it. They're an improved team. They're an exciting team. They're maybe one day getting closer to fulfilling this potential of winning some sort of trophy, but you're going to have to do an awful lot of convincing to explain to me why you're betting on them in this match. So if anybody has a differing opinion, hit us in the chat, throw a tweet at us. I'd love to understand why.
Yeah. And I would say, I'm just threw this together, a little same game parlay. If you're looking for something to use a boost on, PSG double chance, Kvara shot on target, Marquinhos tackle. It's plus 130. Throw a boost on there, you can get it plus 150.
Done.
Seems pretty safe.
I dig it. So that's where we're at in the Champions League. Feeling good as usual. We'll obviously handicap the final once that comes around, but I can say very solidly for the third year in a row, we've pretty much nailed this competition. We've had a really good track record, match day by match day. So super happy with it. Appreciate anybody that's been following along with that. But let's get into the bread and butter. We got some big games in the Premier League this weekend. I think I'm going in chronological order here, but the first one I have up is Bournemouth taking on Aston Villa.
Bournemouth
at home to Villa. Let me pull up my standings here. 7th and 8th place, respectively. So Villa is on the outside looking in. They're a point behind Forest, 2 points behind Chelsea and Newcastle. They will need a win. We got on and said that last week. They did very narrowly take care of business. I know we were a little shocked they didn't get 2 or 3 goals, but they did cash that money line. Bournemouth's looking good. I don't even remember the last time they lost a game. You know, we talked about them a lot this year. They are probably one of the surprises of the season, one of the most improved teams. They've really held it together. They've gotten good contributions from Kluivert, from Evan Nielsen, guys we've talked about week in and week out. They're plus 145 favorites at home in this game. Villa are plus 165. Either team on draw no bet is playable. -130 for Bournemouth, 105 for Villa. So, Scotty, which way are you looking at this game? Do you subscribe to the Nick take of Aston Villa needs the points, we had to roll with them, or do you subscribe to what you said early on the pod, watch out for those home teams?
Yeah, I think it's Villa actually has something going for them in terms of what they're playing for. They're sitting in the Conference League right now. They can easily get into a Europa and certainly Champions League spot with England getting five teams in. So they definitely have more to play for. I'd say they're the hotter team. You know, I agree. Bournemouth have certainly been in good form in terms of not losing games, but they've had three draws, I think, in their last five. So they're dropping points. So with all that said, Aston Villa -105 on the draw no bet is probably where I would lean on this one. Okay. They have something, like I said, they have something to play for, certainly can get back into Champions League with a couple wins here. The slate is favorable for them in terms of who their people that they're chasing are playing. So Newcastle and Chelsea face off. We'll talk about that. So one of those teams at least guaranteed to drop points. Arsenal going to Liverpool. They're still in it in terms of Champions League qualification. They're, you know, but 7 points ahead with three games left. Still have to play Newcastle as well. So there's chance for Arsenal to continue this little bit of free fall here. And Aston Villa could even potentially catch up to them. I think there's certainly a lot left in this season for Villa. They've been probably the hottest team, I think, in England for the last 2 months or so. They did play.
Grinding it out too. Like, not, you know, getting, winning the games that you need to win if you're going to elevate yourself as a team.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way I look at it.
They took PSG all the way to the wire too in their two-leg tie. Certainly looked up to it as Liverpool did, you know, the league winners. So Got to give them a credit, and it's behind their offense. Offense has been great, obviously. I talked about it last weekend, but they've been clicking with some of the guys they brought in January. So yeah, I think that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to take draw no bet with Villa -105. A loss here would probably be pretty crushing to their Champions League hopes, you know, with just two games left, and probably put them around 4 points back. Tough one to catch up there. So it's at least a must draw, but probably a must win game for them.
I agree with you. I'm a Villa draw no bet -105. I think that's the way you have to play it until they don't get that result, right? They've been good for us. You got to ride the hot hand. Trying to look at their team total over 1.5 is even money. I think that's decently interesting. You know, Bournemouth's D is good, not great. But they're certainly could give up a couple goals here, especially to a Villa team that's going to be up for it. So those are the two ways I'm looking at it. Anything else before we move on to the next game?
I would just say if you're looking for potential props, Asensio shot on target's -135. No, he's playing in behind Watkins. I think that's a pretty good one. You need to take it by itself. -135, almost playable. Depending on where you're at, you could probably chop that, find a better number, or you could just throw into a parlay with somebody else, get that up to, you know, plus money.
Yeah, I dig it. He's been consistent, so I like that play as well. All right, next up for this battle for top six, top big, five, big top four. Newcastle taking on Chelsea. Newcastle at home. Just to pull up the standings, these teams are tied on 63 points. Identical points. Within three goals of each other on goal differential. Don't quite know the head-to-head, but this is a six-point game. There's really no other way to look at it. Both teams will be going for it. Newcastle favored at home at +115. Chelsea +210, the draw +265, Chelsea draw no bet +130. And if you're looking at a spread here, Chelsea +0.25 is -115. Scotty, does Newcastle get back to business, get the result here? Or Chelsea, winners of three straight, I believe unbeaten in 7 or 8 games in the league. They've made this ascent to 63 points in fifth place. Does Chelsea get something out of this game?
Man, this was, I think, probably the hardest game to call in terms of, you know, both teams needing something out of it.
I can't pick a side in that regard, right? They both need it.
I really like want to go Newcastle at home here. I went Newcastle last weekend against Brighton. Brighton had been conceding goals like left and right. Newcastle barely luckily, honestly, to get one. They got a penalty in, I think, in like the 88th minute where his free kick goes off of a player's hand in the box. Their offense looked bad. Like it was just all out of sorts. And
they kind of look spent. Like, is that a fair thing to say?
I
just feel like they've hit this wall.
It is.
I don't have any other way to put it. Because they were firing on all cylinders, right? Two, mm-hmm. three, four goals a game. And then it kind of just stopped.
Yeah. I mean, it's they're similar to Liverpool in the sense where they have this great forward and Alexander Isak. You know, the counterpoint would be Liverpool with Mohamed Salah, who's been doing a lot of the offensive creation and probably hiding some of the deficiencies across the line otherwise. And so when he's not having a bad game or an off day, you know, do you really trust Harvey Barnes and Jacob Murphy to kind of pick up the load or bringing in Callum Wilson or Anthony Gordon off the bench? Can those guys create a spark? We saw against Brighton, that was not the case. Neither of those guys did much of anything. You know, it was really Tonali and Isak that were doing most of the creating going forward. And yeah, Chelsea's defense may not be the best, but, you know, it's you have to bring more than that to you know, get a couple of goals. And Chelsea's offensive has been pretty decent, obviously scoring three against Liverpool. So that's the tricky part. Like, I really want to take Newcastle at home here. That's what we said at the top of the show. You know, we've got to take the home teams right now.
Yep.
But just they left such a bad taste in my mouth with how poorly they performed against a Brighton team whose defense is just so poor. You know, it's giving me a little bit of hesitance.
I agree. In the books priced it so well that you'd have to take them on the money line if you believe in them, right?
No.
It's a real struggle at plus 115. I'm looking at this Chelsea side. Like I said, they've won three straight. I mean, I don't know. It's just another team because they're on their what? Fifth manager in 7 years. They're on their 800th lineup in the last 7 years. Who's looking good? Who's not? What's going to happen? I'm still waiting for Cole Palmer to get started. It's week 35. Yeah. I think Jackson scored last week or last 2 weeks. He's been kind of hot. So, like, I'm looking at him at plus 300. I think that's kind of a big, big number, provided that he starts. But he's certainly no guarantee to score a goal. So,
yeah.
Really, really tough for me to convincingly say what to do in this game other than – Newcastle money line. That's the story that the odds are telling. That's, I guess, the better team over the course of the season, but that's the home team. And that's got to be the difference in this game.
Yeah, I think this is a weird one where we don't often recommend this, but the total being set at 3, I think you can take over 3 at minus 130 on this one. Historically, these two teams, when they show up or when they play against each other, it's lots of goals. The first match was a 2-0 win, a rare clean sheet by Newcastle. But besides that, you have 2-1 Chelsea, 3-2 Chelsea, 1-1, 4-1, 1-1. So there's going to be goals. You know, I know Newcastle will be good for one. I feel like Chelsea will be good for at least one. And then it's just going to be whoever wants that win more. You're safe with 3. If it becomes a shootout, you get 2 goals in the first half, whatever. Nice little minus 130 win.
Yeah, I dig it. Both teams to score, no draw as an alternative is plus 105. I don't necessarily love it, but just another way to attack it if you think it's a high-scoring game.
Yeah, that's the only concern is if both teams are happy with the draw. I don't know that they are. You know, there are other teams below them that can kind of pass them, but
yeah.
In this sense, you know, if you each get a point, you go into the last two games of the season. I think Newcastle's schedule gets a little bit easier, but Chelsea still has a couple matches still.
I would imagine if either team are down 2-1, that other team is going to go all out to try to get the equalizer.
For sure.
So little beer money on 2-2 correct score plus 800.
Yeah. Don't hate it.
Just saying. Johnny, what's up, dude? Thank you for joining as always. Man, there was one more, and I didn't pull it up here. It is your
Liverpool
team.
Arsenal.
Yeah, Liverpool Arsenal, and we just talked a lot about Arsenal, and we're going to talk a little bit more about them. This, to your point, Scotty, one way or the other, this looks to me like 0 points from Arsenal, and I'll say not that Liverpool have anything to play for other than, you know, some personal accomplishments and pride. They're at home. They don't want Arsenal to win a game against them. I get that. Arsenal's either going to be spent from going all out and getting a victory over PSG, or they are going to be so deflated and demoralized from losing to PSG, walking away from yet another season without silverware. Really going to be tough for me to get behind Arsenal in this game. We're also going for the narrative that you spoke about. We want them to drop as far as they possibly can. It makes for better watching. Liverpool plus 115 on the money line. Do I need to go any further?
No, I mean, I think that's a perfectly fine play to play. They have two more home games left.
Exactly the exact odds as the last game we spoke about, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's, you know, Liverpool plus money, league champions at home. Hard to say no to that, right? 100%. I
mean, just give me that. I don't really care the circumstances. Legally,
don't know what the rotation is going to look like for Liverpool. That's my only flag. You know, they obviously rotated a lot last weekend. Trent moving on to Real Madrid. Don't know if he's going to be playing anymore. You'll probably see a lot of Conor Bradley. You'll see a lot of Gerald Kwanzaa. You're going to see a lot of Kostas Tsimikas. You know, the midfield is not going to...
The viewers want to know.
No, probably not. Probably not. Dude, can't like can't risk minutes. Him getting injured going into the summer, you know?
Yeah. Club World Cup coming up.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, I don't know what the midfield's going to look like for Liverpool. That's the biggest thing. If the lineups come out and the midfield has got two of Szoboszlai, McAllister, Gravenberch, sure. Plus 115, don't even think about it. The other thing that I like in this, you're right, Arsenal, no matter what happens tomorrow night, they're going to have either very tired legs, very deflated egos, or they'll be out all night partying and they'll be hungover in some capacity. Both teams to score over 2.5 is minus 105. Okay. Liverpool have not really kept many clean sheets in 2025. Sure. Only clean sheets that they've kept were Leicester, Everton, and Newcastle back in February. So I feel like that's the defense is not going to be the strongest. Like I just mentioned the three rotations that they'll probably have in their back four. I think Arsenal can get one at the very least here. And you know that Salah's pushing to get, you know, his goal scoring and assist records. Now that Rafinha is out of Champions League, there's a chance for Salah now again in Ballon d'Or. So a little extra motivation there, especially in front of the home crowd. So I like the both teams score over 2.5 at minus 105.
Yeah, I dig it. Well, again, wait for lineups. Let's wait for some player props. They're not currently out yet. We are recording a day early, so my bad. But, you know, if the solid props come out and they're playable, there's no reason not to look at them.
Yeah.
So, hard agree. I think it's going to be a rough go for Arsenal in the league all the way out. And I don't think they could play Liverpool at a worse possible time. And also Liverpool, like you mentioned, coming off of a loss. I don't think Poole are looking to lose two games in a row, regardless of the fact that it's essentially meaningless. Right. So
yeah,
I expect some sort of response. So
yeah, they'll want to show out in front of the home fans, especially as, you know, champions. The atmosphere will be great as Anfield usually is, but even better considering that they know that they're champions now. So I think they'll certainly get a boost, the home boost for sure.
That's where I'm at on it. Anything else here in the Premier League worth talking about?
I don't hate Palace draw no bet minus 120 at Spurs. Spurs are just really bad. And yeah, as much as Palace kind of pains us at times, I think they have enough in them to get a win against the bottom five team in England right now.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm necessarily touching that game, but I see where your head's at. I think Man United are probably primed to get a win against West Ham.
Yeah, even West Ham also stink.
West Ham are just bad. So I don't know. Both of those teams are essentially going to be in a final, which is crazy.
One of those teams will be in the Champions League, which is crazier.
Yep. Nuts. So
unfortunate for many, I would say.
Yeah. So just be wary. Not really a lot to take a look at. The only other thing I would say, let me pull up the odds before I say something really out of pocket. I don't know how it didn't come through for us last week or 2 weeks ago. I don't even remember. They're all kind of blurring into each other. But like Wolves to get a goal. Wolves are at home against Brighton. Wolves have been kind of doing the thing. Both teams to score actually is not really playable. It's minus 170. So
yeah, I was gonna say again, Brighton's defense has been terrible. Don't let their almost shutout, virtual shutout against Newcastle last weekend fool you. Their defense has been bad. So.
Yeah, so I mean, I kind of like an over 2.5 is -145. That's tough. Never mind, man. I was really gonna push for Wolves here.
Just do over 2.5 and both teams to score at -115. That's where you can go with that.
Yeah, so should be an entertaining game anyway. All I'll say.
Yeah. But. All right, you ready to talk Italy?
Let's do it. So we have, let me run through the standings really quickly here because I guess it's easier that way. Napoli, winners of 4 straight in first place, 77 points. Inter, who we talked about a lot, in second, 3 points behind on 74. Atalanta, I guess doing everything they can to stay in third place. They are on 68. Juve, 5 behind them on 63. Roma also on 63. Lazio also on 63. And Bologna, 62 points. Fiorentina and Milan on the outside looking in. Every single one of those teams picked up points this past weekend. So it's just going to be another heavyweight matchup, another heavyweight week, another 6 pointers for this top 4. Let's go chronologically. Milan taking out. Oh, hold on.
We got a viewer question.
We got a question. I'm going to address it. What's up, Dan? Thank you for joining, brother. How's everything? I would say, oh man, without saying both.
Whew. I think it's Inter has underperformed. Napoli have had a very easy strength of schedule coming into the closing part of the season that's allowed them to climb back and above.
Hold on. But I don't subscribe to that because every team
plays everybody. Correct. So, but Inter still had a, 6 or 7 point advantage back in early March, somewhere around there, over Napoli specifically. And it's gotten smaller and smaller, and they've been dropping points to not necessarily like the best teams. I know they just dropped points to like who they lose to, like, besides Roma. They lost to Roma and Bologna.
Yeah, Bologna was a bad loss.
But Bologna, you got to be getting points against, especially in this, you know, this kind of a competition. I would say Inter has underperformed. And look, they're in the Champions League final. How can you say they haven't underperformed when they're clearly good enough to be one of the last two teams in Europe, yet you're struggling now to be in a top, you know, top three team in Italy?
No, man. See, I appreciate what you're saying. I disagree because we could talk about strength of schedule for the month of April and May, but it's the same schedule, right? So that means Napoli has already played those teams that Inter has not performed against. So for me, it's Napoli overperforming. It's tough for me to say Inter side is underperforming when they still have 74 points. They're still allowing less than a goal a game. They only have 5 losses on the season. There's 4 teams that have 5 losses or less. So like they've kind of done the thing. Napoli has just been better. And I don't mean necessarily better, but like they're doing much more with less. And that to me is overperforming. I think you've got Lukaku, who leads the league in assists, which is incredible. You lost your best player in January, and they like now they're starting to get some secondary scoring. But where was that secondary scoring the first 30 match weeks? They really didn't have it, and they're still in first place. So for me, Napoli deserves all the credit in the world, quite honestly. Inter is still having a very good season, albeit maybe a letdown season in Serie A over the last 2. But what Napoli's doing, I don't think many people predicted.
John just brought up my point, which is that Inter have been fighting on many fronts for the last 2 or 3 months too, which sure. Certainly hurts.
In 3 weeks ago, they were on for the treble, and now they're not.
So you're calling a team that was on for the treble in mid-April underperforming.
I'm not saying they're underperforming. I'm saying Napoli, that makes Napoli's achievement that much better, in my opinion. I think that with, like, I don't know, just my take on it.
All right.
I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, quite honestly. I mean, great question, Dan, because both would have been the correct answer. I more strongly lean to the Napoli side. That's all I'm saying.
Fair enough.
Hedge, what's up, brother? Thank you for joining. No, man, you mushed the Panthers. So you know what? You and I are going to have words. Guys out here willingly betting on Toronto Maple Leaf players to do well. So we don't accept that.
Ugh, that's gross. All right.
But let's hop into this first matchup. We got Milan at home to Bologna. Milan plus 145, favorites at home. Bologna plus 175, that draw at a very, very, very shiny plus 225. 5 points between these teams. Bologna have drawn their last two games. Bologna have had a really tough schedule. I think
they have.
Now I'm gonna go back to kind of your side of the equation when we're talking about it, right? Napoli have the easy schedule right now. Bologna, I think, took care of business in their easy part of the schedule, and now they're kind of up against it. You know, they did get that win against Inter, but tough game against Juve last week, tough game away to Milan. We know Milan has been very, very, very bad. These teams will actually play each other in the Coppa final, which is like nuts. So, chances are they're going to split both, but this league, I don't know what means more to Bologna, chance to get into top four or a chance to win a trophy, which Bologna hasn't won a trophy probably since we've been alive.
Yeah.
So that's the question that has to be asked first and foremost.
That's fair. I think financially, obviously there's a lot that could be said about getting into Champions League. So in terms of like long-term potential and health for the club, probably lean that way. Sentimentality, silverware, I get it. Emotional, it makes sense.
I'm betting if you ask fans of the club, as a club on, I guess, similar stature, I want a trophy all day long.
Yeah.
But Bologna actually spends and recruits and sells, so they actually run a decent business. So the Champions League money probably does well by them, as opposed to Lazio, who just throws Champions League money out the window.
Well, the good news is Daniel's not asking this question, so we can say both. Why not both? For this. Why not have money and trophies? That's what they want. They want both. And with that said, I mean, you know, Milan have nothing to play for at this point, right? They're very far down, easily in outside of European competition qualification here.
Too many teams to jump.
Yep. They really have kind of been limping. I know they just won two matches, but it's what, against Venezia and Genoa. So not exactly, you know, bottom half of the table teams. So, I like Bologna draw no bet here, plus 100. Why not? Do I think Milan are gonna, you know, get an easy win here? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So with Bologna being within a stone's throw of Champions League right now, and certainly well within the bounds of qualifying for Europe, I would expect them to have a bit more bite when they come out and play. So if they can get the first goal, feel really good about it. If they get behind a goal, I don't really trust Milan's defense to keep them out. So it's still very much in play. So and take the draw no bet protection, and you still have an even money for the win.
And we saw that last week. They went behind early to Juve, but came back and did the job to get a point. I mean, probably deserve three, if we're being honest. So I'm with you 100%. I think both teams to score. Minus 135 is interesting because both of these teams do tend to score. Orsolini, my boy, is plus 300 to score a goal. He's been on a very good run of form, provided that he is starting. Kind of where I'm at. I think John, as always, bringing a good perspective here. I give you a lot of credit, dude, because you don't seem to let feelings get to you when it comes to discussing Milan. But Liao out is huge. I mean, for all anybody, me, wants to say negatively about Liao, he's the guy that kind of turned that game around last week, right? He has obviously that game breaking potential. We don't see it every week, but him being missed is a big one, especially when their strikers just haven't been able to figure it out all season long. So definitely a big miss. They'll obviously be gearing up to put all their eggs in the final basket. So Bologna have to be the side to back here, even though they're away from home.
Yeah. Both teams to score, by the way, minus 140. It's close. Certainly worth kind of mixing in if you're looking for something.
If you can get it at minus 130, minus 135, I would play it.
Yeah.
So shop around. All right. Next up, Lazio at home to Juventus. And as I said, these teams are equal on points. Lazio plus 140, actually a favorite at home. Juve plus 180. The Juve special, the draw is plus 210. Probably the way I'm looking at this. Really don't know what to make of either of these teams. I mean, I do, which means I don't. But I don't know. It seems to me like Will you allow me more? Is that fair to say?
Well, I was going to go one step further. I was going to say, will you allow me to make this a must-win game for Lazio? Because after this, they have to play Inter. I think they're playing at Inter.
Yep.
And then they close out the season against somebody in the bottom half of the table. I forget who. Whereas Juve have Udinese and Venezia to close out the season. So if Lazio want to be in the competition or in the chase still for top four and not be playing from
top six.
Yeah. You gotta probably win this game at home and give yourself a little distance against Juve at the very least.
I tend to agree. Fortunately, Lazio has been on decent form. They're unbeaten in like 2 months, which is great. They outplayed Juve in the first meeting, but they had a red card for like half the game, and Juve scored in like the 80-something minute on their only shot. So that hurt. But unfortunately, both teams have been through their ups and downs since then. So I kind of throw that out the window. But Lazio need it. If Juve drop this game and their ceiling is 69 points, I wouldn't be shocked if Roma or Bologna, if Lazio, one of these teams overtook them. Because even at that point, if Lazio win this game and beat Juve, what's to say that they can't go out and beat Inter?
Yeah. Because they don't really need to. They can draw and then get a win. You know what I mean?
I agree. It's pretty insane to say, but I definitely agree with you.
The question is, do I like Lazio to win enough to take a money line on this? And I am Juve king of the draws. Honestly, like that
plus 210
feels like the most likely result is plus a draw, unfortunately.
Right there, dude. I know. I'm with you. I'm trying to see what else we could squeeze out.
Because, how perfect would that be? These two teams draw, Roma win, and then now both these two teams are on the outside looking in as Roma leapfrogs them.
Probably my nightmare, quite honestly. I can't think of anything that sounds worse. Both teams to score minus 120 seems live.
Yeah. Yeah. Which means, of course, we have to check the odds for our favorite 1-1 exact score, plus 380. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
It's not that much.
Oh, that's low.
It's really, because that's probably what it's going to be.
I agree. Now that's definitely where I'm at. I'm trying to think total goals. I mean, Juve to score 2 is plus 170. That's a silly, silly number. Lazio's defense hasn't exactly been very good.
Yeah.
I'm not advocating for it.
But they are
a big number.
Only team inside the top 10 to have conceded 40 or more goals so far this season.
Hope it doesn't happen, but I'd be silly not to throw that out there as a possibility. I don't know. I like the fact that Lazio is at home. I like the fact that they're favorites. I wouldn't expect them to be favorites. The fact that they are makes me believe they have a chance in this game. So I will ride that into Saturday and be happy about it. And as always, you'll do a wellness check on me.
Of course.
But if we win, watch out, Twitter. You're in for a fucking weekend, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. If you win and Roma lose against what they're at Atalanta, that's where we're going
Roma,
next.
At Atalanta. Atalanta minus very 105, likely. Roma plus 245. Roma obviously have been very good, but as mentioned, Atalanta need 3 points to solidify their top four status. I think a win in this game, I think a draw goes a long way for them, but I mean, if they get a draw and Juve get a win, still some wiggle room. If Roma win, Atalanta's not safe. So Atalanta are kind of back. They've won 3 out of their last 4. They're starting to score goals again. They're getting all of their forwards involved. And Roma's just kind of doing that Roma thing where they just squeak by with 1-0 wins and every single game's an under. So we have the ultimate over team taking on the ultimate under team. What the hell does that mean?
I think the worst part about this is Atalanta's at home.
I agree.
As we have said many times this podcast, they're a better road team for whatever reason. So that's mildly concerning. But I would say you have to like the odds of Atalanta getting a goal, meaning Roma drops points, right? That's basically the math here. If Atalanta can get one, very, very, very likely Roma are dropping points either way. Good for Lazio in the Champions League.
Yes.
How do we profit off of that? I mean, it feels like that means it's going to be a both teams to score. So that's minus 160. Books outsmarted me because I was going to give that out right quick.
Atalanta team total is minus 120 for 2 goals.
Okay. Maybe that's the angle then.
I mean, I think if you're looking at an Atalanta money line, you know that they need two goals. Mm-hmm. So I'd feel much more comfortable taking a team total in this instance than a money line. I'll eat the extra juice.
I guess that's fair. Atalanta to score in the first half, minus 130.
Used to be automatic.
Yeah.
Not a bad look.
I could see that. I could see that.
But, I mean, Roma has tightened it up on defense, right? They're allowing less than a goal a game. We have to give them props for that. Every game let me pull it up to talk intelligently. Their last, I don't know if this is in chronological order, man, but 1-0 win against Fiorentina, a 1-0 win against Inter, a 1-0 win against Verona, a 1-1 draw to Lazio, a 1-1 draw to Juve, a 1-0 win against Lecce, a 1-0 win against Cagliari. So we're talking about 8 straight games where Roma have scored exactly one goal.
So I'm saying that Atalanta just need one to get some sort of result for Roma to draw points. So what? Maybe that's where I'm going to go then. Really think both teams to score is going to be that on playable at minus 160, Roma draw no bet at plus 160. I mean, what's even giving them a quarter of a goal? Roma getting a plus quarter of a goal is plus 105. Double that chance, may be the play.
Minus 125. Might as well go for the full cash.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe that is the play then.
Man.
It's either do you think Atalanta are getting two or do you want to just take Roma double chance? Those are, that, I mean...
And here's the craziest shit. Roma.
I don't know that we have to give that answer. I think the listeners will have their opinion. They really want to back either Roma or Atalanta. I think those are the two ways you can take it. If you want to back Atalanta, you take their team total over 1.5. If you want Roma to get something out of it, or you think they will, then take the double chance.
Yes, 100%. Roma.
Maybe wait for lineups.
Under 1.5 is minus 255. So that's what 8 straight games of one goal and one goal only will do to you. Shit. Pretty crazy. Sorry.
I was going to say, anything else in Italy?
Looking. I mean, Fiorentina plus 130 against Venezia seems kind of like a good play. That's a Monday game. So I don't know if that line will get worse or if we should lock it in now. I know they do have Conference League game on Thursday of this week. They are behind in that tie. So is this game against Venezia a letdown spot? Very well might be, but they absolutely need those points. So I'm really trying to balance like reality with the situation in a lot of these, but I mean, if they want any chance of top six, they need 3 points against Venezia. There's just no two ways about it. So have to imagine they do something there. Plus 130 is a comfortable enough number for me to lock in right this second. Other than that, I'm not seeing too much. Parma maybe being a live play at plus 230 against Empoli?
Maybe. I just don't love Parma right now. They've got what? One win in 2 months? Something crazy like that?
Yeah. A lot of draws, equally as bad, though, and they're essentially relegated.
Yeah, fair. So. Can we talk a little top four futures for a second? Because we just talked about most of the key matches. There's something interesting brewing here with the two Rome clubs, both sitting at around plus 350. Roma's plus 350, Lazio's plus 330. Why not just take both of those? Hope one of them gets in. You're going to come away with money either way. It's basically betting on Juve to fall out. If Lazio can get a result, that would look well. Even if they don't, I know they play two bottom half of the table clubs, but it's Juve. They drop points. They draw all the time.
Yeah, they don't score.
I feel like a Lazio win all but guarantees that Juve will probably be on the outside looking in from top four at the end of the season.
No, I would absolutely agree with that.
So my little match stretch. Of course, I do this and then Bologna sneaks in, right? That's like the downside. But
man,
I think one of those two Rome clubs would get in.
Man, I wish Steve was on. I think Steve has a future for Roma top four at like plus 10,000.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Something like astronomical. He's got to be loving it to see that it's plus 350 right now.
Yeah, he does. Fuck. All right. I walked into that. But I still think that's an interesting play. Like if you're trying to just make a little money. You're going to come away with about a 1.5 units if you do this properly.
It's okay. So, and I will, that's more than okay over a 3-week span, right? Like, yeah, you're not going to lock that kind of money up any longer than that, but for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
No question.
All right.
Think that'll wrap it up for us, guys. Really appreciate everybody who has joined. Thank you guys for always being in the comments. Please share, retweet, subscribe to YouTube if you haven't already. Helps out a lot.
We are like 3 subscribers away from over 100. So,
oh shit,
try and come on, just finish that out.
Hit that up. Really appreciate the support. Good luck on your bets. Root for PSG tomorrow so we could have 2 teams in the final and make some more money. Catch you guys next week.